8th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 13 again. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Wasn't sure how I was going to approach this. My hope was to get through the 13th chapter tonight. Of course, that was my hope a couple weeks ago when I brought kind of the introduction to this chapter. It was right after our vacation Bible school in the afternoon service. I knew you had your belly full and you would be sleepy, and so I kept it down to about 30 minutes. And tonight I got to do less than that. I'm going to quit around a quarter till, 10 till, something like that, for us to have our business meeting. But we're talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet. I don't think I'll get both of them in tonight. I'll just tell you up front. We will just kind of give you the skeletal outline on the screen here in a moment about the Antichrist. Let me do it this way. Let me read our text again just so I can bring your mind, refresh your mind on where we are at. Revelation chapter number 13. The Bible says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power is given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." Now, I wanted to read those same verses to you again tonight, and I don't think we'll get past that. I was hoping to I've entitled our lesson, Satan's Mighty Prince and His Major Prophet. And I wanted to get into both of them, but I don't think I'll make it through to the false prophet tonight. There are three main places in the Word of God that we get the majority of our information about this one that is called the Antichrist, or the son of perdition, or the man of sin, or the beast, or whatever title you want to give him. One, of course, is here in Revelation chapter 13. Find Daniel chapter 7 and hold your finger there. The other one we will just talk about briefly in a moment, and that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 through down about verse 14 or 15 or so, I think. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Anyway, we'll probably not turn there, but I'll talk a little bit about that as I have time. But those are the three main places. Now, in the book of Daniel, you also have him talked a lot about in the 8th chapter, and I think even in the 9th chapter, even up into the 11th chapter of Daniel. But Daniel chapter 7 is where Daniel talks about the personality of this one that is called the Antichrist the most. Now again, keep in mind the time frame that we're talking about. Maybe in the next lesson, I'll put it on the screen and I'll kind of lay out as best I can when the time frame of certain events in the tribulation period. A lot of folks have asked me to add a time frame to that. Well, listen, I'm going to do that. I cannot do it with a lot of authority, or I cannot be definite about these things. It is my opinion, a lot of it, but I'll do that in the next lesson. But I can be sure of this. The period of time that we're talking about is right before the third woe that is pronounced upon this earth. I gave this to you last time. In the fifth and sixth and seventh trumpet judgment, you have three great woes that are pronounced on this earth. The angel flew out of heaven and cried, "Woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth." Two of those woes have already passed in the fifth and sixth trumpet judgment. The third woe is yet to come, which we'll have in the 16th chapter. The third woe, of course, is the seven last plagues of God. We call them the vile or the bowl judgments. That's where we're at. Right before that third woe, which is the seven last plagues of God. Now, in this chapter, we have chronicled for us the rise of the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists. We talked about this last time. Many Antichrists are in the world, but there is only one that is the Antichrist. And this chapter chronicles his rise to power. It is going to be such a reign that the whole world, those that are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, they are going to wander after the beast. They're even going to worship the dragon and worship the beast, and they're going to say, "Who's like unto the beast?" It is going to be where one man deceives the entire earth. As I said, for years people would say, well, they'd wonder, how can something like that happen? How can one man deceive the whole world? I don't have any problem seeing it. In fact, in history, we've seen it happen in smaller doses. But listen, this man is going to come on the scene, and he's going to deceive the whole world. He is minister of propaganda. Hitler had Goebbels. The Antichrist is going to have a fake preacher, a false prophet. And hence we get our title, Satan's Mighty Prince and His Major Prophet. This is part of the Satanic Trinity. The Holy Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Satanic Trinity is the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Now, the time frame again is the temple has been rebuilt. The tribulation temple has been rebuilt at this time. The Antichrist, he has been lurking and working in the shadows up to this point. He makes a covenant with the nation of Israel, and then he stabs them in the back, sets himself up in the temple. Proclaims or demands all worship and oblation be made unto the image of the beast. This is the abomination and desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet in Daniel chapter 7 and affirmed by our Lord in Matthew chapter 24. It is going to be the false prophet that is going to spearhead the campaign for the beast. This false prophet is going to be very deceptive in his appearance. He's going to be very dynamic in his appeal, but he's going to be very destructive in his approach. So we have Satan's mighty prince and his major prophet. Now, tonight, we'll just get through the first 10 verses very quickly, and at best, I'm going to give you just kind of go through the skeletal outline and talk about this one that is we call the mighty prince, the Antichrist. Now, we touched on this a little bit in the last lesson. The first thing we need to think about is what I would call the personality of the Antichrist. Now, remember, there are two beasts mentioned in this chapter. One of them comes out of the sea. The other one comes out of the earth. I'll save this for next lesson, but I'll tell you why that is maybe in the next lesson. But one beast comes out of the sea, one comes out of the earth, one beast is the Antichrist, the other is the false prophet. Now, again, I'll say, people say, well, what will he be like? we don't have a lot of revelation. We got enough. And by the way, I'll toss this in again. I am not looking for the Antichrist. I don't care who the Antichrist is. We are to be looking for the Christ, not the Antichrist. But what will he be like? Now, just because I'm not looking for him doesn't mean I have to be ignorant about him. Anyway, there are three major passages. The one here that I read to you tonight, we'll come back to it in a moment. Go ahead and flip over to Daniel chapter 7. We read it last time. I'm not going to read it this time. I'm trying to edit as I go here and move quickly. But Daniel lets us in a lot as to what the Antichrist will be like. The other one is in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. When Paul talks, it gives us some information also about the Antichrist. He talks about his appearance, when he will come. When shall the Antichrist appear? Well, listen, Paul says that day will not come except to come a great falling away first, that the man of sin, the son of perdition, be revealed. In other words, something's got to happen before he can really be revealed or come on the scene. That something is the rapture, the catching away of God's people. Remember, Paul said, only he who letteth, the Greek word means hinder, he who hindereth will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. That is the restraining influence of the people of God with the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in them. Paul tells us that's when the Antichrist will appear. So he tells us when he shall appear, but he also tells us who he resembles. He says, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to be like the devil. He's going to be able to work great miracles. Let me tell you something, folks. You want to get a crowd, start putting on a miracle campaign or a healing campaign, and you'll get a crowd. You ever wonder, I think like this all the time, how can anybody be so gullible to follow somebody like Benny Hinn or Robert Tilton or somebody like that? Well, they draw crowds, and this is what's going to happen. See, so he's going to appear after the rapture. He's going to resemble the devil, the dragon, if you will. And then he tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 also who his accomplice will be. Again, you wonder, how can one man deceive the whole world? Well, listen, I think the world is ripe for such a man. But add to that, God is going to actually bring him to power. God's going to send people, Paul said, a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie, that they all might be damned. So God's going to bring him to power. God's got a reason for it. Anyway, in Daniel chapter number 7, he also gives us some information about, now last time we read verse 8 and 9, then we read verses 15 through 25. I don't have time to read it to you tonight, but he gives us an idea of what the Antichrist will be like. First, he is going to be a very charismatic leader. Now, that just simply means that there's something both appealing and so attractive about him that all the world is going to wonder after him. In fact, in verse 5 of Daniel here, verse 8 of Daniel, he says he's going to be given a mouth speaking great things. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5 said he's going to be speaking great things and blasphemies. He is going to be he's going to be very attractive physically. Verse 20 of this chapter in Daniel chapter 7, listen to what it says. And of the 10 horns that were on in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. The word look there literally speaks of his appearance. He's going to be very attractive in his appearance. He's going to be a good-looking fella. And he's going to be a very good speaker. He's going to be very charismatic. Now, fortunately for you, You don't have either one of those things in your pastor, you know. I understand I'm a short, dumpy, bald, fat, getting fatter and fatter preacher, and not very polished, not very, what's the word, eloquent? I don't have a lot of eloquence to me. But listen, if you get somebody like that, people go nuts over them. Why do you think it is that, again, those names that I listed, I used to think, man, who would be dumb enough to fall for somebody like Oral Roberts? Now, he's dead and gone now. But who would be dumb enough to follow somebody like Oral Roberts or Joel Osteen or Robert Tilton? You say you shouldn't name names. Well, Paul named names. John Hagee. Some of our preacher people in our churches, Brother Sting, have went crazy over John Hagee. He's a false prophet, false teacher. But that's what he does. He's very charismatic. We've got a lot of fellows like that on TV now. And then not only be a charismatic leader, he's going to be a very clever leader. In verse 8, he says he's given the eyes of a man. That speaks, of course, of his intellect, of his intellectual ability. Over in the 8th chapter of Daniel, here's how it describes him. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. She shall magnify himself in his heart. By peace shall destroy many. He shall stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. In other words, he's going to be a kind of a superman of sorts. He's going to be super intelligent. So he's going to be very charismatic. He's very clever. And then number 3, he's also going to be a cultic leader. And listen to what it says in verse 25 of this 7th chapter. And I'm trying to shoot through this. And he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given in his hand until time and times and dividing of time. In other words, 3.5 years. So when is this going to happen? Right in the middle of the tribulation, you start what is called the Great Tribulation. And people's going to worship him. I don't have time. You can write it down. I think it's on the screen in chapter 11, verse 36 through 38 of Daniel also talks about that. Last thing, he's going to be a very cruel leader. In verse 23 of this 7th chapter, then he said, the fourth beast, which shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So, Daniel, even in his prophecy way back, by the way, the Bible is wonderful. The Bible is very consistent. Read, again, Daniel's description. Go over and read Paul's description in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then back in our text in Revelation chapter 13, you'll find the Bible being very consistent. Anyway, we have the personality of the beast, but second, we have the profile of the beast, of the Antichrist. In verse 1 and 2 tells us where he comes from, of chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, what does that mean? Revelation chapter 17 tells us it speaks of the Sea of Nations. Funny, I got in discussion. I forgot who it was after service on that Sunday. Because when you read commentaries, you'll get a variety of opinions, and there's a lot of debate as to whether what nationality the Antichrist will be. Some say he's got to be a Jew in order to deceive the Jews into worshiping him, basically being a fake Messiah. Others say, well, no, when he comes out of the Sea of Nations, it's going to be a Gentile. From a Gentile nation, might be a Jew out of a Gentile nation. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. When he talks about coming up out of the sea, he's talking about the Sea of Nations. That's where he's going to come from. And then, lastly, we have the program of the Antichrist. Now, here's what he says. He come up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And listen what he says. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. Now, I don't have time to get into this, but let me just do it like this. In Daniel's prophecy, it talks about four great kingdoms, right? Those four kingdoms being the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then, of course, the Roman Empire. What most commentators, most anyway, agree on is what we're talking about here is that fourth kingdom. It will be a revival of the old Roman Empire. Again, and the devil is going to give him his power, his seat, and his authority. Now that's a very quick, I know, it's time to quit so we can do business meeting. Rundown, I'll save the false prophet for another lesson of the beast. Now who is he? I don't know. I don't care. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Christ. All right, let's stand, sing, and I'll quit.